Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein here, and welcome to another edition, my final off-season edition of Phillies Today. We have regular season baseball in the books already with the Dodgers and Padres series in South Korea finishing up yesterday morning. I was one of the sickos that woke up early on Wednesday morning to watch the game at 6 a.m., you know, mostly because I'm amped about baseball being back and these guys getting back out there, but also because I am a Shohei Ohtani fantasy owner, you know, which also has some other problems right now that I won't get into as much here because we are a Phillies podcast, but going to wait for more details on that one. Just a crazy story between Ohtani and his translator. We'll see how that all plays out. But as the reigning champion of the league, I had to be on top of it all. I had to be up at 6 a.m. the other day, and it was great. Again, I'm just so ready for baseball to be back, so ready for baseball season in general to be back. Nicer weather, good vibes at the ballpark. Just get me there. I am also very excited to tell you and confirm I will be in the ballpark next Thursday, on opening day. Just got it as a little birthday present, so I will be there with my dad, and I'm just so excited, man. We get to watch Zach Wheeler and Spencer Strider in a rockin' Citizens Bank Park, probably the two top pitchers in all of baseball right now with Gerrit Cole being hurt. But I looked this up, by the way, and I figured Spencer Strider's numbers against the Phillies in the regular season would be pretty good considering it feels like, you know, he dominates them on a pretty consistent basis, at least in the regular season. Well, I looked it up, and in 8 career starts against the Phillies in the regular season, Spencer Strider is 8-0 with a 1.9 ERA and an 0.74 whip. Just ridiculous numbers. But then you look at the postseason numbers, and it makes it all more funny because in 3 career starts against the Phillies in the postseason, he has a 5.4 ERA. He's 0-3 and a 1.74 whip. And I know he was coming off the injury and, you know, the Hoskins homer game, game 3 of the NLDS in 2022, but just a ridiculous difference, honestly. And it goes to show you how that atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park could certainly make a difference. So excited to see him back pitching in this ballpark. Excited to see him face off against new contract Zach Wheeler. And real quickly, I was a little surprised maybe that Wheeler got the nod over Nola just because of the streak Nola was on. 6 straight opening day nods, which I believe is 3rd most in team history. But Zach Wheeler is the better pitcher, and he will make his first opening day start of his career, believe it or not. Heard him on the midday show yesterday talking about how excited he is for that. So going to be awesome. So, and Nola handles it, of course, exactly how he should. Comes out and says that he's happy for Wheels and that he deserves it with the way he's pitched over the course of the last few years. And, you know, also something to monitor just with Aaron Nola while I'm on the subject in the first week of the season. Will be Aaron Nola also potentially going on the paternity list? I think he and his wife are expecting a baby in like the first week of April. So he may end up missing a week early on. Just something to monitor there. But yeah, I want to get into some of this roster stuff, some more spring training takeaways I have for you, and just see where this team's at about a week from opening day. So I'll jump right into it here. Biggest thing that I think people are wondering right now as, you know, the Phillies wrap things up in Clearwater is how does the whole Rojas, Pache, Cave situation end up shaking out in terms of who makes the opening day roster? I think by now most people know the situation. Pache and Cave do not have any more minor league options, which means that if you decide to keep Rojas and cut one of them, you have the chance to lose them because they'll hit waivers, and it's probably pretty likely they won't clear because they've played so well in the spring, and any team can go pick them up. And if they aren't picked up, then they can go down to AAA. But again, just doesn't seem likely, especially with Pache and what he's shown in the spring as well. And so where I'm kind of at right now with it is I feel like the organization is just really, really convinced that Johan Rojas is their guy and that he can help them win ball games despite not being, you know, great at the plate this spring. I think he's hitting around 150-something and 45 at-bats as of a couple days ago. He just isn't hitting the baseball very hard. For someone who came into the spring with expectations from the team, like, okay, if I just hit around, you know, 230, 235-ish, then you'll make the team. And he's not. He's failing to do that. And I find it a bit concerning. I like Rojas. I know that he's a better than elite defender. He is in the special category for sure. I even heard Larry Boa on the morning show a few days ago comparing him to Gary Maddux. And for somebody of that era, that is a massive, massive compliment. And with the defense he's played in center field, you know, it's not a bad comparison. But I just don't know if this guy is ready to consistently hit at the major league level just yet. And for a team that, hey, they've talked about it, wants to have a really good start this year, I think that you have to try to put the best team out on the field that you can on opening day. And between potentially losing Pache or starting Rojas in AAA, I'd rather not lose Pache if they can. And now, they very well could cut Jake Cave, and maybe he clears waivers, but it just feels like between him being a lefty and Pache being somewhat of a duplicate-type player to Rojas, I would just rather not lose a guy I value to start the year, and then you can always just bring Rojas, you know, up whenever he's ready. Because I will say this, if Rojas does make the team, which, again, I do think is going to happen if I had to go one way or the other, because that's just, you know, the vibe I'm getting from the team, he has to play every day. He has to get consistent at-bats, whether it's at the major league level or in AAA, because he's not going to improve, and I think you're doing him a disservice if, you know, you're making him a defensive replacement or he's only getting, you know, an at-bat here and there. So, but if he doesn't end up making the team and ends up starting the year in AAA, which, again, is a possibility, then I'd probably guess that Brandon Marsh ends up as your starting center fielder on opening day and that they would have Whit Merrifield in left. Witt, who's been, you know, really good in the spring, by the way, is just, I think he's going to play a lot early here, I think. He's hitting almost 400 in the spring with, you know, over 30 at-bats under his belt. I would be shocked if he ends up, I wouldn't be shocked, actually, or pardon me, if he ends up playing in, you know, 110, 115 games this year because of the versatility. And if he hits, it might be hard not to play him at times because he is just so versatile in the field, is able to play so many different positions, and is a great way to get guys off their feet. So, definitely a good issue to have there. So this kind of lets me transition nicely into my opening day lineup prediction and what I think that might look like. So I'll give you the lineup that I think Rob Thompson will go with. Not the one that I would go with, but the one that I think Topper will write in the scorecard in 6 days from now. So I got Schwarber leading off as the DH. I don't want to hear any Schwarber leadoff slander. Kyle Schwarber is going to be leading off as the DH on opening day. It'll be followed by Turner, followed by Harper at first. I've got JT batting cleanup. It seems like that's what they've been doing all spring when they put, you know, their A lineup out there. Stott at second, batting fifth. I got Alec Bohm batting sixth, Castellanos batting seventh, and I got Marsh in left batting eighth and Rojas in center to finish it off. First of all, I think that's one hell of a lineup. But yes, again, I do have Rojas in there. I just think that between Dombrowski and Rob's comments they've made over the past month or so, he'll be in there. But like I also said, if not, I think it'll be Marsh in center, Witt in left. It could also start Pache in center, sure, but I just don't totally feel like that's the option they're going to go with. I don't know why. It just seems like they don't view Pache as a guy that's in their long-term plans necessarily. Maybe he ends up getting traded or maybe he ends up getting waived or is not on the roster, but I really hope they don't lose him for nothing because I do believe he's a valuable player. He's not quite the fielder that Johan Rojas is, but he is a plus defender for sure with a great glove out there and gets some great breaks on the ball too. So I really think they should value Pache, but we'll see what ends up happening there. One guy who I do hope is going to be, you know, 100% all good for opening day, that's Bryce Harper. I haven't brought it up yet, but he hasn't played in a spring training game in over a week now. The team came out and said that he was having a little bit of a back issue and that he should be ready for opening day, and they're not concerned about it short term. But man, it just feels like it's always something with Bryce in his back. It feels like from season to season, that's been kind of a nagging issue for him. But I'm not sure if it's because of the violent swing or not, but it just seems like it's something to monitor as his career goes on, because you know that's something, again, that's bothered him before, and it's coming up again right now. And as he progresses through this contract, as of right now, he's going to be here through 2031. You hope that's not something that continues to potentially flare up. So I will add that everyone, including Topper and Dombrowski, again, have come out and say that this is not something they're worried about, and that he'll 100% be ready for opening day. They are not concerned that he is going to miss opening day. But again, it's just something to monitor. You hope it's a non-story in a week, but maybe they're just being precautionary. So that is the latest on Bryce Harper. And something I have to hit on spring training-wise before I forget is, holy bleep, Ranger Suarez has been freaking awesome this spring. Ranger Suarez, through four starts, yeah, he only has a zero ERA, 0.6 whip, 16 Ks, and 15 innings. You know, seems okay. Not too bad. I'm really excited for Ranger Suarez to finally pitch a ton of innings right out of the chute this year. No injuries, no World Baseball Classic. And the fact that he's not only gotten an entire spring training to ramp up, but he just looks so dialed in right now. His command looks awesome. That's just a massive sign for this team. You obviously feel comfortable with your top two guys in Wheeler and Nola to do what they have to do. But if Ranger is able to have a type of year where he's able to cement himself as a frontline guy who can pitch, you know, 150 to 160 innings, you know, this year and years moving forward, you might have the best top three in all of baseball. And by the way, another lefty starting pitcher, not sure if you heard of him, Blake Snell, the dude who won, you know, the freaking Cy Young Award last year, finally signed with the Giants. So, my goodness, did Scott Boras end up botching this offseason for some of his guys? Snell got, what, like a one-year deal, but it's a two-year deal, but it's really a one-year deal with an opt-out after the first year, $62 million total. And Montgomery's still unsigned as well, and that is, you know, definitely going to go into the regular season here, it seems like, as kind of Dallas Keuchel did, again, Scott Boras guy, in 2019. But man, this has just been one of the weirdest free agency offseasons that I can remember. But and again, we'll see if the Phillies continue to monitor him. But anyway, getting back to Ranger, he looks awesome. His command, when it's going good right now, it's going good. And he'll just never be a guy that blows you away with the stuff he has. But when he's locating his fastball and the changeup is, you know, on point, because I think that's his best pitch, and it's looked really good so far, he can make dudes look silly at the plate. And he's going to get that Sunday start against the Braves in the first weekend. And I think he's going to get off to a really good start this year. I really do, much like the rest of this Phillies team. And before I kind of pivot away from the starters here, one thing I did have to mention is, you know, you got to talk about Taijuan Walker. Went up against the Orioles on Wednesday night and just got absolutely shelled. Got hit really hard. But his velocity was just not there, man. He was tossing up 88 to 89 mile-an-hour fastballs, topping out at 91. And couldn't locate a split whatsoever. And when he's not able to locate the split, he's just got to throw fastballs down the middle, and that is never going to work out for him. So he ended up giving up three homers, got taken out of the first inning, came back in the second inning, and gave up a homer, I think, to Gunnar Henderson there. And I'll say this, you know, part of it might be because of how much I love Matt Strom and how valuable I think he is to this team. I wouldn't be totally shocked. And again, I might be off here, and this is not, this is pure speculation. I wouldn't be shocked if Matt Strom maybe made a start early if Walker continues to look like this, because I think he has one more spring training start because he'll be on schedule with his first regular season start, so he'll have to make one more in spring training. But I don't know if it's because of the knee thing or it's because he got a late start to the spring. He just doesn't look good right now, and I'm not sure if he's going to be ready for the season or not. But besides him, the rest of the staff seems great. Chris Sanchez has been a little on and off. I know he didn't have a great last start, but he looked really good in another start. I just think that they have to really monitor Walker here, because it does not look good right now in spring training. And you can't have, you know, him going out on a, you know, every 5 days the way he looked against the Orioles the other night. It was literal batting practice. So that is where I'm kind of at with the starters and with Taijuan Walker. And if you take a look at the April schedule here, as I kind of, you know, move along here, they can really put this bad start thing to bed if they just win some of these series they're supposed to win, man. You know, so here's how the layout kind of works here. They start out with Atlanta at home. Obviously not an easy one, but then here is their April after that opening series against the Braves. They have the Reds at home for three, and I like the Reds to win the NL Central, honestly, this year. I actually like them more than most. Certainly more talented, especially, you know, with the rotation they have and all the young players. But I still like the Phillies starting pitching, especially the back end of their rotation with Sanchez and, who knows, potentially Strom a little more. So then they have the Reds at home for three after the Braves. Then D.C. for three against the Nats. In St. Louis for three. Home against the Pirates for four. Home against the Rockies for three. Home against the White Sox for three before they go on their first big road trip, which is Cincinnati, San Diego, and finishing off in Anaheim. And translation is, I fully expect this team to be multiple games over 500 to begin the year. And it's just finally time to stop with the bad start bit. It's not a funny bit anymore. It was funny last year when, for the second straight year, they get off to a pretty horrific start and they end up going on a tear in June and really playing well in the second half of the year and end up, getting to 90 wins. But it's time to stop. It's the morning show guys had Rob Thompson on earlier this week when they were in Clearwater. And, DeCamera asked Topper about the importance of winning the division. He said, of course it's important. And he said it in a way where I don't think it was lip service either. He sounded like he had conviction when he said it. But the answer he gave was thorough, and it just really made it seem like the division is a priority for this team right now. And the players have came out and said it too. And you want those guaranteed home games, man. You get into the postseason, and a wild card series, stuff can be fluky. Anything can happen, really. And it's a three-game series. You lose a game or two, and your season's over. And again, they have some incredibly winnable series to kick off the year. So get off to a good start. And also get the fan base excited. Not that we aren't already, because I can sense that this city is really, really excited for the Phillies to get going here. But I think there is a chance that if they get off to a good start here and they're, neck and neck with the Braves heading into May, June, like we're going to have a packed CBP or maybe a sold out CBP like the 07 to 11 years every night this summer. That is the level of excitement and anticipation this season has. And getting off to a good start gives you some leeway during the season so you don't have to go on these crazy runs in June or in August of last year, like they have in the last couple of years. And I'm tired of doing the whole, we'll wait for June thing. They'll heat up. I'm tired of it. Let's win some ball games early. Come on. I'm begging you here. And I also just think that the fans are, I already kind of mentioned it, but they're so ready to just latch onto this team again. I heard the midday show guys kind of debating on the show yesterday, is this Phillies team more likable than the 07 to 11 teams? And, I thought it was kind of a ridiculous, notion to kind of think about at first, just because with that 07 to 11 team, they won a title in 2008. Like, you win a championship, you're remembered as a different type of team here as, the years go on and, 10, 20 year anniversaries go by. You have an affection for that team and you feel like you were a part of them. I feel like I'm a part of this team almost more than those 07 to 11 teams. I just think the combination of personalities that are on this ball club right now, and they love each other, they love the city, they love playing baseball, and it's just an infectious feeling. And if they can get off to a hot start and this fan base can kind of fall in love with them like they did last year with the Turner ovation, with all the great moments with the fans during the season, I think that there's a real possibility that they do become a more likable team than that 07 to 11 team. I just think, again, the personalities on this team, you see the Bryson Stott video the other day of him with Tom McCarthy and the guys up there talking about his daughter. That was, almost made me tear up a little bit. You hear, all the Castellanos quotes coming out of camp. You hear, JT talking. You hear Wheeler talking. Guys that are, those two guys specifically, that are usually pretty quiet, kind of mild-mannered guys, they seem as fired up as anybody to get this thing going. And I just think that they are truly on a mission. And I know that can sound very cliche, but they are on a mission this spring training. And it's been quiet relatively during the course of spring training. In fact, they've haven't played very well as a team in spring training. They're well under 500, I believe. But things have been quiet, and that's kind of how you want it to be. And you just want to get everyone healthy the regular season. We obviously know what happened with Reese last year. We know that Ranger wasn't ready coming out of spring training. But as long as you can get to the regular season relatively healthy and have the mindset that they have right now of, hey, we're going to go out there and we have unfinished business. We want to take what's ours. And we remember, you know, what Game 7 was like last year. We still have that taste in our mouths. I think this is going to be truly an incredibly special, special season. And it's going to start, you know, next week, next Thursday, in what should be an unbelievable environment in Citizens Bank Park. I'm just itching to get there so, so badly. What more could you want? Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler. Apparently, it's going to be, I looked at the forecast, and again, things can change a week out or so, but forecast is looking nice. I'm just so excited, man. I'm so amped for this season to get going, and them getting off to a great start would just make it even better. And they have an opportunity to with this schedule, no doubt. There are some beatable teams here, and they need to capitalize, or else they're going to have to rely on what they've done the last couple years in June, in July, in August, just going on these runs. And it's difficult to kind of sustain that type of trend over the course of multiple years. I know they did it 2 years in a row, and they were able to get the wild card and win that series and then move on and beat the Braves. But why make it more difficult for yourself? Get off to the good start, compete for the division, and get this fan base and get everybody involved just absolutely amped about this season. So I'm excited, as you can probably tell. I think they're excited. So let's get to it, man. I'm so ready. But before I get out of here, there's something I need to put on the record on this podcast. I know other people have given their opinion on it, and mine might not be the popular opinion, but I've come to the conclusion that I am officially on team Keep Dancing on My Own for the 2024 Phillies. The morning show with Garrett Stubbs on the other day, a great interview, by the way, if you want to go back and listen. It is no surprise that he is, coined as the chief vibe officer of the Phillies. He is just a really bright personality, and you can hear it as he was talking. He talked about the Arizona incident last year with the pool and was really candid about it too. So go listen to that if you haven't yet with Joe, John Ritchie, and all the morning show guys. But again, I am officially on Team Dancing on My Own. Garrett Stubbs said on that interview that he's not sure if it is going to stick around or not, and they're kind of going to play it by ear. But I think the vibes when that song plays after a playoff win at the bank, like last year in those games against the Braves and in the early part of the NLCS, like that is, there's nothing better. And just being there and kind of soaking that all in, singing it, being with all the fans, it has me very, very much thinking that I needed to stay. And I just think the vibes in that song plays are just incredible. They're unbeatable, and it just feels like it's the anthem of this team. So I just had to put it out there that I'm fully on Team Dancing on My Own. If Garrett Stubbs is listening to this podcast, don't overthink this. Don't pick a new song where it's not going to live up to the hype that Dancing on My Own had. Just stick with it. When they win a World Series, it is going to, think about it, when they clinch a World Series at home this year, 2024, playing Dancing on My Own and having the whole crowd sing it as they're lifting up the trophy, come on. That's going to be unbelievable. But yeah, I'm just so excited for this season, man. Can you believe we're less than a week away? I feel like we had just been talking all offseason about rumors and speculation, about all these free agents and just different elements of this team. And now we're finally here. I can't believe it. I'm just so excited. And I think the rest of the city is too. I was wondering if there was maybe, after the season finished last year, going to be a little bit of a bad hangover from blowing the National League Championship Series, having a 2-0 and a 3-2 lead. But I just think everybody is locked in and ready to, embark on this new journey. And it's going to be a fun one. There's the exact same team pretty much besides, Reese not being here, not that he played last year, and Kimbrel not being here as well. By the way, Craig Kimbrel, annoying that you've developed a changeup and struck out the side. I think it was Schwarber, Turner, and Stott the other night, but anyway, that's enough Craig Kimbrel. But pretty much the same team here. You bring in Witt too, who is just going to be a great depth piece addition. And you've got as good of a team, if not better, than last year. And I'm just so excited for it, man. So with that, that will wrap up my final off-season edition of Phillies Today. And next week, we'll be breaking down real regular season baseball games. And I can't wait. Get me there. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and we'll talk next week. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.